Okay. Thank you, James. Wow, it's good to see a whole lot more colleagues here than in other previous border health panels. We've been doing border health panels since 2008. And our office this year is having a birthday, 70 years on the border. So is the other office, 110 years in the Americas. I'm going to talk a little bit about the conceptual framework. Not a whole lot, because I assume, and I hope I'm right, this is a public health audience, so you all know, and I don't want to continue to talk to the converted. So I'll focus more on the initiative that we did on the border on violence and injury prevention. We started also in 2008 because of the increase in violence, especially in Ciudad Juarez, which was very alarming. So we'll talk a little bit about setting up that observatory with the university and the municipal government, how we've contributed to PAHO's major goal to increase and to incorporate mental health into primary health care, which is very important, and this experience has been very important to the whole organization, and also about strengthening community and institutional capacity and building the evidence base. So this is part of the conceptual framework. We use the same definition as WHO and everyone else on the injuries from external causes. We have focused more on the red, the purple, and the yellow than on the falls, poison, or drowning, or burns, obviously because of the situation, right? We did have a discussion on what violence means to everybody, so we got on the same page before we started this work using WHO definitions, also getting everybody with the concept of public health approach and making sure that, you know, we have the data, we understand the problem, then we move forward to identifying risk factors, protective factors, and so on, using the ecological framework to identify what are the risks were at each moment for the individual, family, community, social, political setting, and then using, which is also something very new, it's in the last 10 years, the human security framework and how health is related to this human security framework, so that we moved away from the old paradigm of having security thought of as a national issue, as enforced by military or police, by force rather than by development, which is the change in paradigm. So you have a protective steering role from the government agencies, but we also have an empowering social determinants activities from the community and from the institution side. So some of the threats to human security that are present in most communities, but especially on the border because of the differences in economic and education and opportunities, both sides, but also especially on the U.S. side, the difference between California, say, household income on the $60,000 per year towards South Texas, McAllen, which is 24,000, it's much more different on the U.S. side, much more homogeneous, especially if you look at household income on the Mexican side. So there is food insecurity in Juarez. There is illness, disease. You've seen some of that. There is poverty, unemployment, the physical integrity of the communities, the housing situation. Some of the parks are not upkept. You know, all of this is true in most environmental degradation across the border and conditions in the community. So this is the big border, and it's very diverse. It's the communities are very different. These were our goals. Our goals were to, big goal was to develop the evidence-based, multi-institutional and interdisciplinary model for violence and injury prevention based on many of the guidelines from our own organizations, the CDC, as well as WHO and the National Institute of Public Health in Mexico. We had three major components or objectives, if you will: strengthen the evidence base, strengthen the understanding of the problem, the data that came from different agencies, because data is there, but the police have some, the health sector has some, education sector, but they weren't coordinating, so we developed this observatory to bring them all together. they're also the agencies that have the responsibility to implement interventions. So having them look at the data together, analyze it, understand what they can do and decide to do it together was a major goal here in strengthening that institutional capacity. The mental health piece, obviously, with primary health care and services to victims of violence. There's many, many needs there. And together with that, to promote cultural changes, working with women, children, the media, and you'll hear more about that. So an example of how it's a cross-sector collaboration, multi-sector collaboration here. Public health, we had the health sector, Red Cross, university education. We had two major universities working with us in Ciudad Juarez, as well as the education system. In terms of employment at work, we had several of all of these are examples of how we worked with different institutions there, because it's not a PAHO project, it's a Ciudad Juarez project. So it's something that they need to look at for it to be sustainable. And that was a major goal of us, is not to just have one project, but to leave capacity so that it can be sustainable and have continuity. You can look up the observatory. There's a website. And they do provide bulletins periodically, but the idea is so people can access online rather than to provide bulletins, which are short shelf life. Some examples, I'm not going to discuss the data as much, but some examples of what helps people make decisions, what helps decision makers make decisions. So they looked at the critical times when they could have citations or sanctions or tickets for drunk driving, and obviously it's from like 6-7 in the afternoon until about 4 in the morning, kind of like happened here yesterday, more or less. So obviously you don't, you want to deploy the agents at those times when it's more critical. That you can also see what happens when agents are deployed or when they're not. There was a moment there when they instituted this testing of all the transit cops, and some of them didn't pass the test, so they were left out, and things continued to increase. Then they started the sobriety checks. They did it 3 times a week in some places. Then they did it 5 times a week, and you can see how it goes down. Then they went back to 3 times. Then, they changed mayors. This new mayor got a lot of pressure from the population, so he quit doing it, and you can see it's going up a bit. So the mortality and road injuries kind of go up and down depending on these kinds of activities and the initiatives that are put in place. Some of the data on homicides is also there. I'm showing different graphs that you can get out of the online system, because it's not just using the data, but you have a automated indicator system that allows you to do the graphs and to pick different indicators and different... Yes, it's very interactive, so you can go in and do that. It's also maps. There's a GIS system incorporated, so you can see which parts of the city have the most pedestrians being injured, or where you have more auto crashes, or where you have more homicides, or that sort of more thefts, different types of problems. So you can see different types of maps from the observatory. So now there's greater capacity for people to make decisions, so we think we strengthen the capacity of making decisions based on evidence. Doesn't mean everybody uses it. We haven't done that analysis yet. I don't know if we're able to do, but we have seen and we have reports, for instance, of the transit DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, or the Department of Transit in Ciudad Juarez, working with CEDESOL, who fixes the batches, the holes in the streets, the signs in the street. So making sure at least the infrastructure of the streets are better and don't contribute to more accidents or more injuries. And also that they can deploy more agents in different moments of the day and in different street crossings where there are more problems, right? So we hope that has helped. And we also have different layers. They have put different layers. There's a municipal institute for planning and research, and they have the different urban layers of where the schools or the health centers, and these are the community centers there. And we use that to also see where the gaps are, so that different agencies, when they have resources, they can make better decisions of where to increase capacity in the city. Also, to look at where the majority of the problems, where are the most vulnerable communities, so we can implement some of the activities. And the mental health in primary care was one of our major important activities. You can see how they were and what kind of health personnel the city had. So we started training community health workers. We did more than 400 community health workers in about 30-some community health centers and social centers, because some of the centers don't have the health piece, but others do. More than 3,000 people have been referred by these community health workers. Here are some of the pictures of them. We also use the WHO Mental Health Gap instrument to do this work, and to get physicians and nurses and social workers to begin to integrate mental health into their daily activities in the health centers, as well as the hospitals. There's a new center in Ciudad Juarez that is just beginning to get deployed. It hasn't quite opened up yet. So more than 90 professionals will have been trained by the end of this year with this tool. Some of the pictures. We also did a certificate course with the University of Ciudad Juarez for different primary care professionals so that they could provide better care to victims, some of them. We also worked with violence and injury prevention for women and children using the WHO guide and violence prevention among intimate partners with different stakeholders. Here's the guide and some of the activities. And also a lot of activities in community centers for women and children to deal with stress, to deal with mourning, the loss of a loved one, and to do it through different art and craft activities. So we had a meeting of all the different NGOs in the city and looked at what they were doing so we wouldn't duplicate but build on they were doing. So a lot of trainers were trained who did photography, silly putty working, painting. They were trained in the mental health aspect to help them through that the activity to deal with some of those emotions. And so 6 workshops with kids with silly putty, it's really important. Photography workshops so that young people could also express and deal with difficult emotions, silk screen. Some of the spillovers from this is they're now trying to do some t-shirts to sell and raise money for their activities. And the graffiti workshop, which is, I think, still in process, but you can hear more about that. There's also a virtual health library for the border, not just for Juarez, but the whole border. So 40-some, bless you, universities put their information, including theses and things that are usually not quite accessible. And so this is a major partnership with universities on the border. We have collaboration sites where people can develop documents, they can prepare articles, they can prepare protocols. In fact, we had a good experience with the Center for Prevention of Chronic Disease. And we do follow very close the guidelines for our own organization and the campaign for violence and injury prevention that WHO and PAHO and their Teach VIP and all the documents we've been, some of them are already in Spanish, some we have not only translated or in process of translating, we've adapted for a more community level because a lot of these publications are really for a more technical audience. Many challenges to continue to make sure this is sustainable and that we can strengthen. And the big challenge is going from this model that we've been working on, documenting it well, and then being able to share it and help other cities implement it with different contexts, with different institutional capacity, with different stakeholders, but trying to find at least the common lines of activities to develop skills and their practice. Major challenge for everything, it's not just violence prevention, is our own institutional way. Each sector tends to be reactive. You know, in the health sector, folks come to the emergency room, they get sewn up, they get help, and then they go back to the communities where they were shot or, you know, hurt in the first place. Same thing, you know, with dehydration and diarrhea, you know, they go back to the communities without safe water or sanitation. And the police system, the judicial system does the same thing. They put them in jail and they send them out again, and in jail they get better than they were before. So this is a major challenge, how to change this way of working among all of our institutions, how to invest more in prevention and be more proactive rather than just reactive. You know, something happened and everybody goes and tries to fix it. There's a lot of references. I brought some handouts. I notice now there's not enough. So thank you very much. If you send me an email, we can show you where they are.